Welcome to Between Our Sundays. This is Kenny.
And this is Chrissy.
Where we share real life with real people while serving a real God.
Well, here we are with episode 4. Today is November 27th, 2024. It's been a hot minute since we've done this, so lots to talk about.
I think that may kind of lead into what was really on our heart for today, and that's just the busyness of life and kind of how that distracts us from staying on focus, not only with what we need to do, but what God has for us each and every day, and how those distractions can easily turn into frustrations, and frustrations can turn into anger, and then it just creates a whole cycle full of junk between marriages, between parents, between friends, between coworkers. I mean, it's a lot of mess.
Absolutely.
And I know we're definitely looking to open up and just share some of where we're at right now. I know Chrissy and I have talked a whole lot in some of our episodes, but a lot of it seems to be past tense, what we've worked through. And I think today what we should probably let you guys know is that as we sit here, we are working through something. Like what we're gonna lay out today is not even something that I don't think we planned for. It was really just something that in the middle of, I'll just call it what it is, in the middle of kind of a fight that we're at the end of right now, as we're slowly working through that with each other. This is kind of where we came to, and as this unfolds, we'll kind of explain some of that. But we really just sometimes we want to express our humanism with you guys, to know that we're here in the middle of the junk too. This isn't a glass house that we live in, and we are susceptible to the same things everyone else is, and you know, part of growing through things, I think, is sharing with others what you go through so that you can help grow through it.
Right. I think in the midst of some conversation today, and as you said, it's been a bit rough for the last, I don't know, 24 hours or so. It's been heavy on my heart about perfection, and perfection is something that I've struggled with probably most of my life, is what the world thinks of me. And I think over the last several weeks in preparing for what was to be our next episode on the podcast, truthfully, you called me out on it just 30 minutes ago, which is why we are doing this podcast right now, because that sense and need to have yourself together to know what you're going to talk about, to know, like, you want to wrap all of this stuff up. You want to wrap life up in this pretty bow. Like, by the time we get to this podcast, we've walked through it, we've figured it out, we've got the answer, and we want to share that answer. And today, truth be told, we're in the midst of it, and I don't always like sharing in the midst of it. So today's probably going to be very raw and very vulnerable and very emotional, because being raw and real opens you up to judgment. And when you spend your life just trying to have it all together and to be the strong one and to have all the answers, sometimes that perfectionism leads you to feeling like you're letting people down when you don't have yourself together, when you don't have the answers. And
I ask myself a lot, even sitting here right now, I'm contemplating this idea, this perspective of perfectionism. And I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we really do try for it.
Right.
We really do. Like, as a human, you want to be right all the time. Especially if you find yourself to be a type A human, you definitely want to be right all the time. You want your process to be the way it goes. You want your lead to be the one that is followed. And many times, I think when you're moving in a direction, it's hard to see other people's perspectives. And perfection tends to be the bait that I know Satan uses so many times for hooking us into the next fight. Because when you get wrapped into the idea of pursuit of perfection, I can't say that many times I haven't tried to convince myself that I had achieved that in a particular right. topic or subject. And so any contradicting opinion to that was, you're wrong. You know, and of course that immediately spools up and just goes from there. But why is it that we are so adamant about perfection? Why is it that we don't want to see or share our flaws with others? Because I don't know, there's so many principles and disciplines across the learning environment that, you know, science is as good as it is today because they've made so many mistakes along the way.
Right.
And they continued to share the mess up so that other brains, other minds could continue to move and evolve through the process and make something better. But if they had kept all that in a cage, if they hadn't shared anything, they'd only let somebody else make the same mistake over and over again. And if we're all continuously making the same mistakes because we're not sharing with each other, then none of us are really moving that much farther forward.
Right.
But if we continue to build on each other's flaws, if we continue to build on those mistakes with the growth that happens in between them, a step for you becomes a step for me.
Right.
And I think that becomes a much more productive way to look at it.
I think perfection too has different meanings in different seasons. So I think, and really where my heart was going as this topic has evolved for me over the last several weeks and really just thinking about it and praying about it, perfection for me was always like this level of success, this place of, I can remember during lots of years ago when it was like, what is my purpose in life? And it was like I had just come to this conclusion that being a stay-at-home mom was not my it was not my thing, when really hindsight is it was my thing. I just was so not confident in myself and bold enough. But then it led into, well, I need to get a degree, and then I need to get a career, and then I need to get this, and I need to get that, and you were deployed, and I was a full-time student, and we had a mini farm. So, you know, we've got goats and chickens and donkeys, and, oh, I'm a single married mom, and I'm working full-time in a career that I absolutely loved. Like, it, to my core, I loved it. In all of that, I was constantly keeping myself in this place of, I've got to have it all together. I did not ask for help. I did not rely on anybody. So I was wearing these hats of so many different people, and really it led into depression, because then I was constantly letting myself down because I wasn't doing anything good. I passed college with just barely, and it was not because my grades were great. I just turned everything in late because I was a procrastinator, and I did a job well, but I could have done it better had I relied on others around us to let people into some of the struggles. And not many people knew the struggles and the hardships, because it was taking on the weight of the world to do it all myself.
But we put on these masks of, I got it together. Mm-hmm. And we do that in our emotions. We do that in our finances. You know, many times we'll cover our successes or the lack thereof with our money. Sometimes, you know, if I present the house that looks perfectly kept, you know, of the right size, shape, and right. neighborhood, then everybody's going to think I got my stuff together.
If I'm driving the right cars, it's constantly this outward visible pursuit to appear on the outside as though everything looks great.
But I had this revelation, and you know, timeline-wise, time and space here, you know, we had just come off of our fall winter freedom conference this past Friday, Saturday, and Chrissy was here for both days, and I was here for the Friday portion, and one of the parts that I was asked to do, and again, just such an honor to be a part of that piece of it, was the process of rejection and how that impacts us. And as I went through the role for that and the speaking part of it, and really just diving into what it said, it hit me pretty hard that I believe that I have continuously related to perfection to avoid rejection. It's not so much always just to make somebody else think I have it together, but if I don't have it together, I then do have to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And the number of times I can honestly say that I've asked for help and not gotten it has been enough to make me very, very shy from asking for help.
Right.
And sometimes people unintentionally don't help. They don't even know, because either they misread what you were asking for, or they were too busy right. to help.
And that's something very, very important to note, because in points of our life, we have asked for help and we were told no, and it really caused us to retreat into ourselves. And when people close to you unintentionally, genuinely, and I can look back now in those moments, was I hurt and offended? Absolutely. But I look back now and it's like, I don't know that it was ever intentional to hurt us, but I don't know that when we make decisions, we don't always think long-term of how they could affect somebody and how something so little could mean so much. And
yeah. And how many times, I mean, I am realizing more so lately here than ever that time, your actual time is sometimes the most valuable currency that you have. And when you give that to somebody on a genuine level, I don't think that impact can be overstated enough.
Right.
That sometimes somebody is just looking for somebody to see them. And I think one of the even bigger parts of this is, as we create these masks, as we try to show a face of perfection, we are moving people away from being able to recognize our flaws, or right. we're moving people away from being able to see our vulnerabilities, because sometimes that is what we actually are striving for. We want somebody to see us. We want somebody to see that we're struggling, and we want them to step in. We don't want to have to put our hand out for that. We want somebody to extend a hand for us. And I think as just good friends, you know, we could wrap this up as a biblical principle, and it's there too, but just being human about it, people need you to see them. People need you to see them when they're down, and they need you to be there to pick them up. And that takes time. It takes you as a person having the time in your schedule to stop for a moment and see past yourself.
Right.
To look at somebody else.
But I also think too, when we're prideful and we step away from allowing people to help, we're stopping God's blessings in our lives, because God calls others to give or to help, and if we're so prideful to stand in the way of to say I don't need help, I think this is where I got to a place of just, oh, I've got it, I don't almost like this wall was up because I've got it, I don't need your help, I don't need anything, and that eliminates the ability for others to give and others to do what God has called them to do in your life. So it's kind of a twofold thing.
So maybe to bring some practicality to this, just to talk about a bit of our present, we are running at all throttles open right now. We have kids that are in motion with multiple school and sport activities. So we're running and chasing them. No regrets there. We have job transitions on my end of moving from one career field to another while still working in both for the next week or so. And that's been overwhelming. We have a business that we own that requires a lot of time and attention. And that's been overwhelming. We have a lot of grateful volunteerism within our church. We have things that we are looking forward to doing within our community. And then we've opened ourselves up to other people. And by that opening, I mean, hey, call me if you need me. Call me if you need to have lunch. Call me when you need something. Let's be believers together. Let's be followers together. But again, all of those do come at the cost of time. And so I think we've put ourselves in a very busy place. And because of that, we've opened ourselves up to some of that perfection to come to the forefront of, I have to keep myself together because I have people that depend on me now. Yes. I have to be perfect because if I break, they may not understand that I'm capable of breaking, or how can I be there for somebody if I'm myself broken right now? And in the middle of all of that, one of the things I think that we've talked through just today, well, more so today, last couple of days, is where our spirit man is living in the busyness.
Yes.
And it is super easy to watch that spirit man who's supposed to live on top take a peg down one little busy work piece at a time. And your busyness can very much be in pursuit of great things. Like, I feel like the things that we're doing are not, they're not wrong. They're not even bad. They're great things. But anything that we're doing that takes a place above where God is at in our spirituality is eventually going to have a negative return.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we're sitting at the table. We've just come off of a trip, you know, over the last couple of days, and again, some of this busyness, and I had a bit of a moment with something on the business side that was a tiff, and I went to share that with Chrissy, and it was met not with the response that I expected. That's probably the simplest way to put it, that I had an expectation that I placed on me sharing that information, and I did not get the response that I expected.
And when it was presented to me, it was presented at a time that my spiritual tank, my emotional tank, my physical tank was dry.
It was dry.
And I was in the midst of pouring out. And it was, and I will continue. I don't regret any of the things that I was doing, but in that moment, because I had not been intentional to keep my spirit man on top or to even think about my spirit man, when you presented me with that information, it was just one more notch of negativity in a brain that had already been processing a lot of stimulating events. It had been several days of things that I needed to be on my best behavior. I needed to be on my best behavior. So here we are in perfection. And it was a lot of days in a row of just serving and giving and serving and giving and serving and giving and in multiple facets. And I'm not talking about just in church. We do this in with our children, with our family, with neighbors, coworkers, you name it. We're in the season of giving. It's Thanksgiving tomorrow. So we're not talking about bad things, but here's the truth. When we give and give and give and give and give and give and give to everyone around us, sometimes it becomes so easy to take out the littlest of things on those closest to us, and that's our family. So when you presented that frustrating moment of information yesterday, it fell on some very empty ears. So it escalated rapidly.
And so then I don't get the response that I'm looking for. And of course, I'm immediately offended. And for those that know me, when I become offended, I only go one of two directions. I'll either be very vocal about my offense and fight to be right, or I'll be very silent. And my silent treatment is no less vocal. I'm not silent just because I don't want to regret the words I'm saying. Many times I'm silent because I'm intentional with the cost of the silence. I'm not going to give you myself. Now I'm removing myself selfishly from this.
Right.
And so my silence is actually an indicator in this particular, you know, for my personality, my silence is an indicator of my justification of being right.
Right.
I'm not even going to grace you with the presence of my words because I'm so right in how I feel right now that I'm just going to sit here in silence and stew in all of this until you finally grovel back and come to me and say I was wrong.
Right.
And that continued through the whole night. It did. And we read the verse, don't let the sun go down on a problem. You know, fix all your things, reconcile, be loving, be forgiving. Yes to all of those things. But they are many times easier said than done. And I hope that this is a moment that we can share with you guys that this is stuff that doesn't always happen for us either. That we didn't really reconcile until about 10 minutes ago when we said, hey, I think this may be the direction God is leading us to be today. Well, let's hit the record right now while it's fresh and let's be raw and real.
The raw and real is that we've been very ugly to each other today.
We have been.
In our anger, we have said a lot of inappropriate and just mean things to each other. There's been a lot of tears shed. There's been just unnecessary hurt. And we know better. And I think that's the part of our Christian walk and where I go back to this perfection, because we know better. We know better. We know what the word says. We know that we should not act this way. We know how we should treat each other. But our flesh comes in and is stronger sometimes, especially when we don't have that spirit man on top. You know, we've just gone through Freedom Conference. We understand and we know. And this is where I think so many Christians get in their walk and they get so defeated in the sense that it's like, well, man, I've messed up and it's just done. I'm done. Why, God, if I'm walking with you, am I having all of these moments? Because there's a bigger force out there that's fighting us, and it's spiritual warfare. Satan is at us from every angle he can. We have so many good things on the horizon that our families, not just our families, but other families in our community are working together to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And what better way does Satan have than to be divisive in a marriage to prevent those good things from happening? So I think so many of us and us as well would get to these points of just pure defeat and not know where to pick back up. Like, it's 10:30 in the morning. We have been arguing since the sun came up and the kids left the house this morning at 7:30. We arguing last night in silent treatment, not really arguing, but just the silence. And how do you come back from that? How do you turn that around to glorify God? And for me, I don't know. I sat here. I literally, and how this all played out of yelling, door slamming, a very, very hostile environment. And it's very rare that this happens anymore. So it's kind of embarrassing to say, because truth be told, it used to be this way all the time. And now it's, I'm disappointed in myself that I allowed my self-control to go out the window, but I also know that I have a God that I serve that is much bigger, and the grace that he has for me and being able to come to him and say, God, purify my heart, you know, cleanse my mind. Satan, you have no place here in my thoughts. So after all of this, between the two of us, it was very clear. There were apologies. There was a standstill moment of just not much left to talk about. So I come to the prayer room and I put a song on repeat that clearly was got to your annoyance level. You were tired of hearing my songs.
I was. So I came and apologized just so she would stop playing the song over and over again. But as I look up some biblical references for us, just to continue to make sure that we're tethering this to the word, which really is the the conqueror of all of the problems. You know, James 3:2 comes to mind, and it says, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." Which leads into Colossians 3:14, and it says, "And above all these things, put on the virtue of love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." And I think the perfection that we're seeking is never going to happen. And we know that it's not going to happen because of the sin that exists in us and in the world. But God still gives us the perfection that we need for our salvation. And we are seen as blameless. And I think that's when we look at how we deal with some of these pieces of drama and trauma, the amazing part is that we get to come back to a baseline every time.
Right.
And it makes me feel like I have fallen short when I'm unable to do that with other people, my family sometimes especially, in that the people closest to me sometimes can get the boldest of my emotions in a bad way, in a negative way. This idea of perfection is just, it's so off.
Right. I think it's important too that, like, in the midst of all of this and not knowing what the right answer is or what the how to move through these stressful moments, confrontational moments, you know, that's where growth happens and how we choose to handle this now. And I think this is, over the last several months, I feel like we've dealt with conflict pretty well. It's been pretty short and sweet, and we've worked through it well. So I think this has been kind of difficult because it's one of the first times that I feel like in a while you and I have had this moment of breakdown. Like it was kind of a tough breakdown for me, and I get emotional because I just want to be loved and seen and heard, and you wanted the same thing, but I can't understand because where you were coming from, it's like, gosh, in the world of everything we have to deal with, why are you upset about this? Like, and I was insensitive because, again, I was not in a place of being able to fill that for you. I was empty. I was empty because I had not been prioritizing, and not on purpose. But what I see in this and how we've gone over the last several hours is, was this an opportunity for God to use our struggle to relate to other people?
Well, and we've talked so many times about this idea of presentation, and it is my belief that in general, people don't want to see other people's perfection and success.
Right.
And I don't mean that as in people don't want to see you do good.
Right.
I mean that as in people aren't interested in seeing and hearing about everything right. that's going great for you, because 9 times out of 10, you're aligned with somebody opposite of you, and you're on a day of not great when they are. And all this does is Satan uses those as friction forces to start a fire.
Well, and I think too, it's Satan uses it in our minds to say, well, if you fall, you're not going to be good enough to still fill these roles. People aren't going to ask you things. They're not going to trust you. They're going to look at you differently. When in all reality, if a marriage does not have confrontation or conflict, that whoever's saying that is totally lying. I mean, conflict and confrontation is normal, but how are we dealing with it? And I think this opportunity to share that we did not handle it very well, but it wasn't just the conflict. It was what led up to that conflict that caused the conflict, because it really wasn't about what you brought to me. It was where I was at.
It was the vulnerability that we left ourselves open to. And I would say that this is probably on both of us, that spiritually we had gotten busy.
Yeah.
And we had let that piece of our own spirit kind of
you got annoyed with something that really I still feel like you shouldn't have got annoyed with. I wasn't receiving that because I was empty. So we were both already at a place of not compatible because we were not spiritually in the right spot in that moment. But now fast forward to today, and I'm annoyingly playing a song, and I'm just sitting in the prayer room, and really, it's all I knew to do was to pray and to cover my mind in worship music, because that's what gets me back to a place of being aligned with God. But you walked in and shared a verse. Well, actually, you texted it to me and said, today's verse. What did you say? You texted me and you said, today's verse always seems to fall at a moment of need. I'm coming in. So I knew you were about to enter the prayer room, and we were gonna hash this out. But reading that verse today, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins, 1 Peter 4:8. That's at the end of the day, that's everything. It's love. We're loving the world. We're being the hands and feet of Jesus, and we're loving others. We're loving our families. We're loving the community. We're loving our church. We're loving our coworkers. And
because let's be honest, sometimes your biggest ministry in somebody else's moment is just loving them through that moment.
Right.
Sometimes it isn't even the words that you could say or the Bible scripture that you could share with them. Sometimes it's just being a body and a spirit of love, even in the nasty sometimes,
yeah,
and working through that. Because when they go past that, when they grow through that, they're going to look back and they're going to see a different point of that. And they're going to say, hey, I was throwing daggers the entire time and you were still there.
Right.
And I think that again, that is a representation of kind of our salvation lived out, is right, that, you know, our sin is a dagger every single time, and it's covered by the blood again every single time. Repetitively, we mess up, and yet repetitively to an endless amount, we are forgiven.
Right.
You know, and to me, that it never ceases to amaze me when I have a spiritual moment to understand the gratitude and the magnitude of that salvation, and just in my own mind of how much I mess up and how much is forgiven. But man, is it hard sometimes to be able to do that ourselves for others, for sure, in a moment of just saying, you know what? I know you didn't react the way I wanted you to right there. Let me step back from this for a moment. Let me analyze what's going into that right now. Why did I get that reaction? Did I say something wrong? Was there other factors that influenced that? Maybe I could have some perspective myself,
right,
to distance myself from that problem for a moment, to figure out what did I contribute to that, but also what were the other factors that were behind the scenes that were working. And I think that if we gave each other that level of understanding and grace, maybe there would be less conflict.
Right.
I know there would have been last night.
Yeah, there would have been. But I also think that God brings us through certain circumstances to come to the other side, to be able to share and to grow and to learn and to connect with other people. Because this is an extremely vulnerable moment to say, We are not perfect. We can all in the good times jokingly say, oh, I'm not perfect, and oh, we make mistakes. But how often do people come in the moment to say, I'm screwing up right now? I'm screwing up right now. Like in this moment, I'm making bad choices. And 30 minutes ago, I'm making bad choices. And we have to give ourselves grace. We have to understand that we are flesh. We do make poor choices sometimes, but we don't have to live in those spaces, and we don't have to stay in those spaces, and that we can move from them. And this is something that as my walk with God has grown and continues to grow, being okay to recognize the moments that you're not okay and to be able to share those. Now don't get me wrong. We're sharing this on a very, very large platform, which is very raw and vulnerable. We're blasting this to anyone who chooses to listen, but maybe in your circles, maybe there's just a few people that are your safe, trusted spots. Know where you can go, know where you can share, some of these moments with, if you're not in a good place, and don't sit in them.
Nope. It doesn't do anybody any good to do that. And I think when you do, you know, you touched on depression, which I think is a very serious and applicable topic in this particular context, and something that people struggle with a lot. And even as men, I think we're unwilling to talk about it. But it exists in all of us, and the spirit of depression is not one that is, it's not good. It doesn't do our bodies good. It doesn't do our minds good. But it's not something that just happens either. Right. You know, chemically, yes, I don't want to degrade or deny those that, that have a larger susceptibility to it. But depression is truly something that many times is at the anger cycle and in the disappointment cycle, because you have that moment of something, that triggering event, which leads to, you know, anger or frustration, which leads to rejection or feeling rejected, which then leads to discontent. And then eventually, when there isn't a solution that comes, or there isn't any resolution, that really does kind of sit at the bottom of depression at that point, because now you feel, you begin to second guess, well, am I really wrong in this? What did I do? How, you know, they're
It's that whole perfection cycle of having these expectations for yourself that are so high and so unattainable that you want to be perfect for yourself, but for everybody else, like everything. You want to be the perfect wife. You want to be the perfect mother. You want to be the perfect servant. You want to be the perfect, you know, worker. You want to be the perfect everything and everything, the perfect friend, the perfect daughter, the everything that you do, you want to be perfect at it. And every day you're just letting yourself down because you're human. We want to strive for excellence, but perfection, Jesus is the only perfect thing, the only perfect person that walked the earth. And while we want to attain that, we set these levels of expectation for ourselves that are unattainable as women, especially. And then we're our own worst enemies. And then the day comes and you wake up and you say, today I'm going to do this and this. I'm going to have the house cleaned, and I'm going to be the perfect mom and the perfect wife. And I'm going to make lunch for the kids and get them off to school with hugs and kisses and laughter. And we're going to karaoke on the way as I drop them off. And everything's going to be wonderful. And then once I get home, I'm going to clean the house and I'm going to put dinner in the crock pot so that once I pick the kids up from school and we have our sports practices and we have all of the things, I'm going to have dinner ready and we're going to sit together and we're going to pray and we're going to have it all together. And guess what? The kids wake up and poof, it's out the window because they are screaming and hollering at each other.
We're just lucky alarm, to get them out with matching socks.
The alarm didn't go off, so everybody's running late. So immediately you've woke up and lunches didn't get done because you went to go grab the loaf of bread and it was molded because it's been in there for 2 weeks. You've been too busy to go to the grocery store and you just didn't pay attention. You go to get the lunch meat and, oh, it's all gone. There's only one slice left. So you got three kids to make sandwiches for him. Nope, that's... You've already missed the mark that you've set for yourself that was so unattainable because you're striving at this level of perfection that you never even make it home to clean the house because you probably ran through Chick-fil-A to get breakfast and got a coffee and decided you were going to go shopping for the day instead. And guess what? You really didn't have money in the budget to go shopping, but it was way better than already going home to the defeat that you had already messed up the day. So here, this cycle of depression happens. Dinner never made it to the crock pot either, because you didn't go back home until after you got the kids from school. So like then you're going out to eat and you're in debt more, and it's just this continual cycle. So then you go to bed that night and you feel defeated and you just feel overwhelmed, and you say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to do better. But guess what? Today you didn't go to the grocery store to replace the moldy bread or get the lunch meat that's all gone or whatever the case may be, because you're mentally just spiraling out of control. And before you know it, 4 days have gone by and you've not showered. You don't want to get out of the bed. You all of these great intentions that you've had, and it all started with putting a label of perfection on yourself.
It's this idea of windows versus mirrors. You know, we walk around as if we need to be a mirror. I need to show you exactly what it is that I want you to see. I want you to look into my mirror and see the picture that I've painted, you know, and I want to reflect something to you. I'm not willing to walk around with a window to let you see into me,
right,
into what's going on. Because if I do, I've let my guard down now, and I'm less of a man or less of a woman, right, or less of a mom or less of a wife or less of a husband. And I probably can say some of our greatest connections have been when we've been vulnerable with each other.
Right.
And shown that. So.
Yes. Kenny's talked so much that he needs water. He can't even talk anymore. He's just talking and talking and talking. He's got dry throat.
If only I was the perfect podcaster. Wouldn't have these problems.
Right.
Well, I know somebody out there is probably going to hear this, and hopefully they can understand and relate, and from a level of, you don't have to be perfect. God clearly didn't call us to be perfect. And if he had, then we'd still be in the Old Testament. And Jesus really wouldn't have had a purpose. If we were there to obtain perfection, then it would have been an absolute of heaven or hell, and that would have been it.
Right.
But fortunately for us, that's not the life that we've been asked to live. And our imperfections, even as Christians, are part of our testimony. And people want to see that. Again, they're not looking to see your failures because they want to see you crash and burn.
Right.
They just want to have somebody that they can relate to.
So I think this is a challenge for all of us in multiple facets. I think the challenge comes in changing the expectations that we have for ourselves and never forgetting who we are, whose we are, and why we do what we do, and giving ourselves some grace and loving ourselves in a way that is kind and gentle. And also just understanding that perfection is not, it shouldn't be the standard. Love should be the standard. Kindness, gentleness.
Grace.
But also understanding and accepting that when we are human, because we're human, God's still going to love us. Our spouses are still going to love us. In a world where everything is final, everything is end all be all. I think it's important, especially in marriage, to note that we're going to have tough times and we may not have the answers, but God's got the answers. And it may just be as simple as saying, I'm sorry. I love you. I screwed up. And I'm sorry that my spirit man wasn't on top. And I say that to you, Kenny. I'm sorry. that my spiritual tank was very empty yesterday and that I wasn't available to you in that moment to hear the frustration and the annoyance that to you was very valid, even if I didn't understand it. And to anyone listening that may go through those moments with their spouses, especially when we're breaking cycles of anger and we're breaking cycles of depression and we're breaking cycles, I think fleshly it's so easy for Satan to come in and bring it up just like the snap of our fingers. Like, it's easy. I slammed a door this morning. It's the first time I have slammed a door, and I cannot tell you how long. And as soon as I did it, I was so mortified, because that's not the person that I am. God has delivered me from these moments. God has delivered me from the cycle of anger that I have lived in all of my life. And that's not who I want to be. But we have to stand guard to Satan. We have to stand guard to the control that we have to be ready to battle back. But even when we do lose self-control, give ourselves grace and know that
it's never too far to come back from.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that, again, to wind it all up, that's the black hole that Satan loves for this world to live in. And we see that played out over and over again, that sometimes you just, people realize or think that they've just done too much and they've gone too far.
Right.
And they alienate, they isolate, they depress. Sometimes even ends, unfortunately, in suicide, just simply because they believe the lie that I've just done too much. Right. There's no way I can come back from this.
Absolutely.
And Jesus didn't die for you to have no way to come back from it.
That's right. That's right.
Well, why don't we use a few moments just to pray, to go through and for this week, Unlock Normal. I think, I have some stuff that I would like to pray through, and I'd love to give you the opportunity. So if you want to open us up in prayer, and then when you're done, I'll close us out.
Okay. Heavenly Father God, right now, I thank you so much for Kenny. I thank you so much for our marriage, God. I thank you for this calling on our lives to share our life and our marriage so intimately with you, God, with all of those who are listening. God, I thank you so much for the obedience in following you, God, because without you, we would be nothing. And God, right now, I lift up each and every person who's listening, those who are feeling alone, those who are feeling invisible, unvalued. God, the struggles that we as women go through in feeling the need to be perfect. God, there are women listening right now that are struggling with the expectations that they are setting on themselves, God. And I pray right now a release of all of those expectations, and a grace for themselves that only you can provide, an unexplainable peace and joy, a love, God, a desire and a fire to just love themselves, love others, love their families the way that you love us, God. I thank you again for this platform. I thank you for this avenue of connecting with others, God. Thank you for leading us to share our story, to share what we've been through, but God, what we're going through right now in this very moment. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy, God. In your heavenly precious name I pray. Amen.
Lord, we come to you today with an open spirit of vulnerability, God, with just a piece of your presence that is here, and a moment of our own conflict that we do hope others can see and relate to. God, for the men that are listening, God, I pray for the perfection that they place on themselves, God, that you would help them see past that. That you would give them the opportunity to know that mistakes can be made and mistakes can be come back from. And we weren't called in your name to be perfect, God, but we were called in your name to minister. And I pray, Lord, that through some of our falls, you would do a ministry in those, God, that you would let others see through us to really, when that window is open wide enough, they see you past all of the junk. They see you, God, and they see the things that we're able to do only because of you, and the challenges that we're able to overcome only because of you, God. And we're grateful and we're thankful for the things that you have continued to bless us with and the avenues that you've continued to open. And God, I pray for the small rifts that happen, God, that they would be minimal for everybody. Like, we aren't called to live a life that's just shaken all the time. There is joy, there is peace, there is happiness and amazement in this life, God. You placed us on this earth to be fishers of men primarily, God, but also to bask in the things and the beauty of this actual world that you have created around us, God. This is of you. You spoke a word and it existed. You spoke a word and it was done. And God, that is amazing in itself. As we go into this Thanksgiving holiday tomorrow, God, I pray, Lord, that you would be with the families that are going to be together. Be with the families that aren't going to be together. God, mend the fences right now that exist, God. Mend the people that may not have been able to even be in the same room. God, put the broken pieces back together for those that might hear this in time. And even for those that aren't hearing it, God, I know there are people that are broken, that need peace and love through this holiday. God, we are thankful for everything that you continue to give, and we are thankful for our salvation, and we're thankful for love and grace and an abundant amount of grace that does not run out.
Yes, Jesus.
So God, take this, give it wings, allow our windows to be open, and allow our transparency as believers to be something that others can see and grow with. Lord, thank you so much for a wife that stands with me in this, and the amazing testimony that we have each and every time that we get to just open this door. Yes. Bless us and carry us through. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. Enjoy the food. Enjoy the fellowship.
Enjoy the family. Enjoy the connections. Enjoy conversation and love.
Well, until the next one, hopefully we won't be 2 or 3 weeks.
No, 4 weeks this time. We love you guys. And to all who listen, we just thank you for taking an hour out of your day to join us on our journey and share with us how much this impacts you. We love you all so very much.
See ya. Until the next time.
Bye.